is Human Spence calling. We've moved away from the studio into the backstage of the arena. It's your Eurovision Song Contest Insight Podcast. Let's tell you what happened yesterday. Another Eurovision Insight chat coming to you today, not, as I said, not from the studio that we have in the centre of Düsseldorf. We've moved out to the arena mostly because there's a little bit more hangover. There's a little bit more, shall we say, I'm absolutely knackered in the air. It's the official welcome party last night. So we have a different roundup of guests. As usual, the jukebox jury crew have decided that the best thing for them to do would be to lie in bed and go, oh my head, and they call themselves fans. So I've got four real fans of Eurovision here who've got themselves up at the crack of dawn, have decided that the best thing they can do is to talk to the world about Eurovision. And we also have Roy Delaney. Hello, Roy.
Good afternoon. Morning, evening.
It's just like that, isn't it? So, Roy Delaney, from various websites, but also probably our first main media person.
I suppose.
From Heat Magazine.
Yes.
So I'm taking it out of your mind. And the Scotsman's a real newspaper in Scotland. Now, Heat Magazine, probably the one publication in the UK that's responsible for Jedward more than any other.
I'm quite pleased with that.
Yeah, so
it's quite a claim.
It's quite a claim, yes. We'll see how everybody feels about that come Thursday. For those of the little people who've got the news, don't know Heat Magazine very briefly.
It's the UK's premier kind of showbiz, gossip, and nice clothes magazine. Anyone that's ever had bad plastic surgery turns up, and it's just stuff people like.
Yeah, and it always latches onto the X Factor every year, and of course that's where Jedward came to flame.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you, well spotted, JP. What is it about Jedward that riles the press up, but keeps them writing about it? Is it simply it sells magazines?
It does sell magazines, but they look good. They're proper products. They're a sitcom. They're a cartoon. They're generally funny, and then you want to know what they're doing and what crazy stunts those kids are getting up to. Why the heck not? It's better having just sort of dull people in nice shoes singing poorly.
Okay, dull people in nice shoes singing. Gareth, how's your singing?
Not that good at this time of the morning.
Dull shoes?
Easy shoes.
Easy. Nice. Gary Mulholl, of course, from ESC Flash Malta, and bouncing around a couple of other places as well, as I recall.
And Eurovision Ireland as well.
So you're happy with Jedward's progress so far?
Are over the moon with Jedward's success. They're number one in the Google prediction poll at the moment. They're the most downloaded artist at this year's Eurovision, so we're very happy with that. We're also number one in the OK poll here in the hall by a considerable amount. I consider there's only three of us Irish here at the moment. That means the rest of Europe is voting for us. Can you believe it?
I don't think RTE can quite believe it.
I don't think we can either.
Also joining us on the panel, you know, if this was an Aaron Sorkin thing, this would be the big rivalry. This would be the Peter Conferences down the corridors of the Paraguay. Well, we got that bit for you. We didn't, but we're not. Eurovision is a happy family, so it's a delight to welcome some of the team from Radio International, starting with JP.
Hello, everybody.
Listen to that voice.
Oh, yes.
smoke. It's gravelly, it's Middle European, it just screams Midnight Caller, doesn't it?
Oh, dear.
JP, how many Eurovisions now?
It's my sixth as journalist, and I've watched it since 1980.
So 1980, that would be in Holland.
Indeed, yes, and with Katja Epstein, then one was there with theatre, and there was the moment when I actually watched the newspaper, Katja Epstein is on today, didn't know the program she was in, and it turned out to be the Eurovision Song Contest, and I got stuck to it now.
Are you glad?
I'll play that.
And Radio International, of course, broadcasts all year round. Where can people find out and listen more? Because you're going to almost 24/7 here, aren't you?
We are 24/7 here, yeah, that's right, kind of. We are working together here in the arena with ecotimes.com, and basically all the interviews we do, all the chats we do are being broadcast instantly through ecotimes.
Well, and like any good DJ host, you've brought your sidekick along with you. that is perfect timing, I have to say. If Johnny Carson was JP, we've got How many years at Eurovision for yourself?
First one I saw was 74, so I'm a bit of the old again.
Where's Eurovision? Yes. Which when I was born.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, it'll be 74 me, so I wasn't even born when you started.
Lucky Eurovision. I look younger.
Yeah. Lucky radio people can't see me giving you this. Anyway,
luckily for me, how old my first was 1970 on the TV.
Oh, Dana.
I saw that and I went, I quite like her.
Oh, then she became a man and moved to Israel and became a woman again. Anyway.
Dana domestic.
Dana domestic. I wonder if I don't. Dana domestic. I like that, Roy. How many times have you used that in the magazine?
Not yet, but I love it.
Which of us is going to get to a keyboard first? Anyway, here to talk Eurovision. Yesterday saw the first rehearsal of the Big Five. Now, there's a lot of comparisons that we have in the hall. We have to point out this was the first rehearsal. Most of the other countries had their first rehearsal back on Monday and Tuesday. So what we saw yesterday will likely be a little bit looser. It needs a little bit more tightening up. We've talked about Dino Merlin's improvement from first to second. So I'm expecting at least two or three that to improve as much as Dino had from the rehearsal yesterday to the ones that they do again on Monday. But let's rattle down the Big Five. Let's actually start with the international guys and Germany as well. Lena deciding to be the third person to return as the previous winner. Obviously, Johnny Logan and a few others have attempted to pop in as well. A brave choice for Lena. What's it looking like on stage?
Yeah, on stage, Lena is not moving much at all, as she always does. And you have the bobsled team in the background dancing. No, they were called in Germany bobsled team because of this nice tight suit.
I believe in the UK we decided they were just men in dancing condoms.
Well, we also heard the dancing sperms.
That's why things are yeah, it's... Has a piece in Eurobeat the musical? Has anybody seen that one? If you, we've mentioned this before, if you have seen that and they have the German avant-garde, it's exactly like that. It's very modern stylistic and it just screams David Lynch and Twin Peaks to me.
Yeah, it's a little bit scary, but mystic, the whole setup of this performance.
And the song itself, Gary, it's technically a very complicated song compared to Satellite from last year.
I still think it's a very simple song, but it's more got an 80s retro feel. I can't help but think of somebody like a Flock of Seagulls or Depeche Mode or something like that. And you would imagine it would be in an avant-garde German movie. And Lena's performance of it yesterday was fantastic. And the big thing for Lena was she actually got the glass to smash at the end, unlike Eric Sade has been trying for the entire week.
Yeah. Let's be fair though, Jeremy, we want to have a glass smashing bit, but we want to have it so that the chances are that even if it fails, it doesn't cock everything up.
I know. Yes. So I think Papa Schlager, as Eric called Christian Brockman yesterday, needs to take some lessons from that.
Wouldn't it be horrible assuming Sweden got through to the final if you had Sweden and then Germany in the semi-final? Or the other way around, it's just the pressure would really be on.
Well, actually, then Lena can help Eric Sade break the glass in case it doesn't work.
You see, come round with a sledgehammer in the end. there we go. Does Germany want to win again? I want to come to Roy. So obviously, everybody here talks about Ireland and it nearly bankrupted RT, which it didn't because we all know the budget. It was getting a bit close. But does Germany want to win again? Or have they made sure that Lena's brought a song that's just a little bit off the wall enough to knock her down two or three places?
I think it doesn't matter this year if Germany win again. I think they want to win every year, as many countries do. I think they just want to be seen to have a fabulous song and a slightly brain-bruising show. And I just think it you feel grubby after watching it. There's something nicely sleazy about it that makes you need a wash.
I thought that was the Romanian song.
That's in a different way.
Oh, bless that. I think it was at Euroclub 2 nights ago and David Price said, hello, I'm David, I'm from Newcastle, I'm singing for Romania. And it's just like, oh, that's completely destroyed any illusion I had when listening to that song. But we like Germany then, in general.
I'd say so, yeah.
And the song?
Yeah. Cracking song, cracking song.
Right, let's move on. Let's leave the UK for a bit. Let's go for France, because I don't think you can get a simpler stage than one man walking out, standing in the middle, singing, and then walking off again. I mean, they're one of the few countries that is letting the staging, the huge LCD panel, and all the effects do the show. And Amari is getting left with this song. And I don't think he was at full power yesterday. And yet, I think every female came out of that auditorium and just went, oh.
That's just a bit, I went a bit swoony as well.
It's, but are people going to be listening to that song? I definitely think they will. I think it has a very strong market when you think of people like Andrew Bocelli and Il Divo, who are very popular all across Europe. You're going to get the, I'd say, the slightly older version, but the older population will vote for it. But Amore is such a handsome guy that the young people will also really like him as well. It's the dark horse of the competition.
It is the dark horse, but I'm not quite sure you have dark horses being the bookie's favourite.
I think it's the bookie's favourite because they think it's the song that should win. And the song that people think should win, 9 times out of 10, tends to not win. So I think that because it's a well-structured song, it's a classically based song, sounds a bit like Ravel's Bolero.
And yeah, it's
we let him away with it. We let him away with that because it still is very good. But I think it could do it.
Well, for me, I think as a radio man, it's very heavy for younger people. To me, it doesn't do anything at all. The voice is okay, but we had better voices at Eurovision. For instance, go back to 2008 when we heard the Romanian Nicoen Vlad. That guy, Vlad, he could really, really sing much better than Amore could do.
You know what? I want to vote on the 2008 contest. It doesn't work.
Guys. Yes.
You made the pick. I want to say something, sorry.
I'm sorry. No. I also think, yeah, it's very interesting that France sings in chorus, even he's not from Corsica.
Yes, and the only French thing this year is, of course, being sung by...
Which one?
He's a perfect psychic, JP. Well done. The only French lyric is being sung by...
I didn't hear you.
JP whispering his ear, so he sounds good.
Lithuania.
Yes. We're not going to go to Corsica if France win.
No, what I liked what he said at the press conference, that they want to promote smaller languages, or languages that are spoken by a minority. So probably we get something in Spanish dialect or in a Bavarian language. I like the Bavarian very much.
Well, I think Jed would speak an Irish Gaelic, but he's not quite sure it is being Irish rock.
He's not entirely sure what language he's speaking. I think it's a mixture of Elvish and Martian.
We had a line of it on our show 3 weeks ago before we came to Eurovision, and we asked about that entry of France this year, and she was not very much amused that he sings it in Corsican.
I think it adds its timelessness to this. Certainly when I remember watching Eurovision growing up, it was always foreign language, because this was in 80s, the first Eurovision I clearly remember was 82, and Bardo might be singing in another language, the amount of nerves that they had that night.
I enjoyed Vita.
Yes! And at the same time, the staging really draws the eye with the clouds in the background. It looks like Jerry Bruckheimer's decided to do Eurovision.
I think the language choice, though, is because obviously they always try and sing most of the element in a French language, and Corsican's so close to Italian, the classical opera language, but yet it's still French. I think that's their slight get out of being Italian.
I do get the feeling that France and Italy are singing each other's songs, they've just been swapped over in the post. It seems Greece and Cyprus have had their songs switched over as well, but that's not even for another time. France is definitely in the chance of winning, though, aren't they, Garrett?
Definitely, definitely. I'd put money on them if you could get good odds.
But I have put money on this, but I have put money down on a hotel in Paris for May next year.
Like quite a lot of money.
I'm just going to know which stadium could it be, that one, maybe.
Well, rumour has it it's not going to be in Paris, it's going to be Lyon.
Lyon, I've heard Lyon as well.
Oh, Lyon. I have heard Cannes. So there's different things going on.
I need the one I may ever be.
Cannes, though, when the film festival's on at the same time. That's it, but usually at the same time as Eurovision.
Any idea? We have a discussion for next Sunday, in this case. Imagine Italy there, jazzy Eurovision. Let's go to issue books. When's the last? We had Let's Jazz. It was going to be a jazz song. The key was going to come from Estonia this year, but didn't get through the national finals.
In a jazz song.
Yes. Let's Jazz.
Let's Jazz. I wonder what can I come
up with. Moldova.
Okay. I think Moldova made a far braver choice, and it's far more exciting. Have we had jazz at Eurovision before in as thick a sense that we had here from Italy?
I cannot remember that. In a number of music there, can you remember any jazz, Klaus?
No.
The closest you get to jazz would probably be, it would be Swing with Roger Citizen from Germany 2007. But this is real jazz. This is like, Jamie Callum,
a little bit older and a few more drinks.
A few more drinks in you again.
No, in him. I really like the Italian song. I really like it, but it's a grower of a song. I don't think it's a song which people will get instantly when they look at it for the first time on the actual live show. That's my worry about it.
They have a subtle advantage. They get little plays in the Tuesday and Thursday, the semi-finals. But not the full
3 minutes, and that's what's going to be really important for them. But he gives an amazing performance. He really does. He gets so into the jazz feel when he's on the stage, and I thought he was great yesterday.
It's certainly a case of someone who's hiding behind their music. You know, there are some personalities that walk out on stage. Alex Sparrow, you can just walk out and just go, I'm Alex Sparrow, and people would start voting for him. But Raphael really needs to get behind the piano before he can be himself.
Exactly. You could even see when he was doing his press conference, he had the piano with him as well, or his keyboards, and that's, I think it's a bit of a, he feels comfortable behind that, and that's because he's a true artist. He really is a true artist.
He's not a performer.
He's not a performer, yeah.
Last evening, I saw him on the red carpet down to the opening party, and most of the artists were bouncing off the buses and the glad hand in the crowd. He was kind of skulking behind the head of delegation, looking
very
Jewish.
Very, very shy guy, as he is, yeah. But it's a fantastic set. Otherwise, you see, when that trumpet kicks in, I mean, I can just see Humphrey Littleton there, and it's just fantastic. I mean, Louis Armstrong as well, but I want to reference Humphrey from the pod.
But my father was a big jazz fan, and he'd have been watching that and enjoying it up to that point. I don't know exactly what you said at that moment, which I possibly can't say.
Oh, yes, you can't go over it.
By Christ, that shit. But you enjoyed it perfectly up to that point, so I fear the chicken noise may turn off the more casual jazz-like fan.
But the performance itself is, we put the band on stage, and, okay, I mean, the rock guys, specifically Jackie, they kind of have to bring the band. Raphael had the choice to do just the piano and the trumpet, but he's wrapped himself up in the band, hasn't he?
Yes. What I wanted to say is that the right song for Eurovision? Did the Italians really make the right choice?
I think it's almost like the first time you come to Eurovision as a reporter, you need that first time just to go, where is everything? How does it all work again? I think Italy's been out so long that they're not sure how to select a song or what song they want to sing or how they want to represent themselves. So they've used Sanremo and, you know, they've not gone for the winner because, again, the Italian stars are going, well, what will Eurovision do to me? So I think this is a good check bet, I think. It's not going to come last. It puts them into the game. And, you know, whatever discussions have been done behind closed doors, you have to assume it's for a multi-year appearance. And it's not going to come last.
And they don't have to go through any semi-finals either because they're part of the Big Five.
Indeed, yeah. So they have that safety net. So it allows them the chance to just have a play around and see what works for the green point and whatever other colours they like.
But I always think that the Italians always pick a song which is not typical Eurovision. Like if you think like Rhapsody and you think of, you know, there are other rock songs that they have, and rock songs weren't particularly big in Eurovision. They were always a step ahead of what was Eurovision at that time. So I think they've done the right thing and picked a really contemporary song this year.
Although I think the guy that won San Remo did look like a 78-year-old bus station drunk having a rally out there, whoever walked by, so that's possibly why they didn't choose him.
Yeah, it would have been interesting. This isn't actually jukebox 3 from the Big Five. We had that yesterday, so you can go listen to that. So let's talk about the performance of Spain. The video is exciting. It's an up-tempo, you know, number that's great and probably going to be the great guns in the Mediterranean coast. But in terms of Eurovision, I think we're going down the Soraya route. So it's lovely, it's memorable, it's catchy, and it's just going to stop.
No, it's not. This is a happy song, and she is an absolute joy. She was out last night, and she went onto Euroclub afterwards, and she was up on the stage with around about 20 Israeli guys doing her dance routine, and they actually knew the dance routine better than her.
Well, sad, I know.
But I just think this is such a fun song and really easy to get into. It has the classic Eurovision thing,
I'm going to do this. It's a fantastic show. We use it on our show quite often, and it just is happy. It's happy, and that's how Spanish music is.
And she's also very charming and very likable. I mean, last evening she was out, she actually looks better in real life than she does on the TV, which is unusual. She was the other way around, but she's got a presence about her.
And it's always gimmick-free. It's just her, some banters, and
Spain have done the right thing this year. They've learned their lesson from, if you acoustic sound, but she was doing too much dancing and the vocals suffered because of it. So this year what they've done is they've let her sing the song and let the dancers behind her do the dancing, and then she just comes in for the small little bits where they have the new choreography to get the crowd going, and it works so much better because you can just focus on her. Her vocals are great and you're not losing any impact from trying to do both at the same time.
I love the little dig that they got in at Germany when they drew the work. And they go, we're only 22nd because that's what Germany had last year.
So, but winning the song contest for Spain, I don't know.
I don't see it, to be honest. Yes, it's a happy song. It's like, and I think typical Eurovision that is used by the people who've been here for a couple of years is typical Eurovision of a couple of years. I'm still convinced that when we look back in 10 years' time, this period between 2009 and up to 2012, it's going to be a huge change, bringing in more youth, more modern music, and I think that Spain harks a little bit too far back.
I think it's one of those songs that everyone enjoys and nobody remembers to vote for. Everyone's sixth or seventh favourite.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain songs that we're quite happy to put on at Euroclub time and time again, but never in a million years would we have voted for Vertigo.
I still think it's possibly going to be their best result. I hope their best results of it in a few years. You know, I think they should look at
that challenge.
No, it wouldn't be. And maybe if they get a stage invasion this year, they might get to perform it again at the end.
You know, I think when all the business in the world over the last 2 weeks, a stage invasion might be at least slightly more forced this year.
Last night she was actually at the mayor's ball, and the Portuguese were there with their drums as per usual, and she went outside and she did a dance with them, and she did one dance and she was very polite and she went to walk away. They dragged her back for a second dance, so she did a second dance, and then they tried to get her to do it for a third dance, at which point she goes, no, we have to go. So
so let's move on from a very simple stage presentation from Spain to a rather busy one for the United Kingdom. A boy band, Blue, who are now middle-aged band, boy, blue, band, whatever. There's a nice anagram in there. Last week, when I was fresh, I would have hit that nail on the head, listeners, honestly. They had a song that's quite technical, that requires some of the boys to do some really complicated singing, yet they throw in the kitchen sink on stage in the BBC. And if it works, great, but there's almost as much risk in here as Chris has brought for the Swedish Exploding Box.
Well, they do have quite nice shiny green boxes on stage where they're behind, and it's always a risk when you have things like this on the stage that something wouldn't work. That's what I think. But
yeah, and they've got the biggest LCD screen, single LCD screen ever built behind them, and they've brought more.
More to break.
Yeah, more to break. And look, my fear for Roy is that people watching at home on television are going to see a four-piece band wearing shiny suits that look like the Randy Abraham's Rejects. And there's just so much going on. There's pyro, there's the boxes in blue, and, you know, pictures of them naked behind them with costumes on. They kind of wish that they just turned it back, almost like France have done.
I don't know, have we seen the camera trim? Is it going to be tight for them the whole time?
And this is one that I referenced, you know, right back at the start of the show, which is it could tighten up and look very well, but it just puts a lot more pressure on everything.
I mean, we were seeing yesterday, it was the fourth screen, it seemed to have a lag behind the other three, and so I can, got spelled as ICAR for most of the show. And I went all back when we were Bristol.
Red White Track didn't qualify, came second in Australia.
Oh, that was a sad loss. There's always one, if anything, the more you have on stage, the more can go wrong. And it could end up being like ACK, the way it's going on.
The song itself, it's another grower. It's not as instant as you need for a Eurovision winner.
My biggest disappointment with yesterday is they've actually changed the track somewhat. And at the beginning, you can hear more of military drums coming in. But then, around about 30 seconds into the song, the bass line drops out altogether. And we all thought in the arena that something had gone wrong with the sound. But it's not. That's the new track that they have. Now, I suppose if you're looking at it for the first time, you might not think anything different of it, but from everybody who has been looking at the song for the past few months now, we were going, that just sounds wrong, you know?
It does.
It does, yeah. It just seems as if it's a technical problem.
And we've had a because Estonia's track had lost the bass line, and there's a song that really needs the bass line to pull through, because, you know, 1-2-7, Rockefeller Street needs, yeah, needs a dum 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 that's coming through the background. And Blue, they've still got a chance to do this. This is only their first time, actually.
But I mean, that's what I mean, people are giving them a bit of a hard time yesterday. That's what rehearsals are there for. They're there to get the technical problems out of the way, the camera angles out of the way, and the vocals out of the way, and that's what they do.
And if you're watching the difference between the first run through and the last run through in the 40th minute, there's a marked improvement difference.
Well, I think that they're an experienced band doing a sound check, and they don't go full gas for that. They're just kicking around doing what they do. When it comes to the meat and potatoes, there's people in the hall, they're playing the show, they're mostly a difference of them. I think they'll nail it then.
Yeah, I think we're going to take 12 points in Italy, though, given Lee's presence there.
And you're guaranteed 12 points in Ireland as well. Without a shadow of a doubt, you're going to get them there.
Yeah. So just remember, when everybody in the UK starts complaining about political voting, what we've just said.
You'll only get the 12 points from Ireland if you give the 12 points back to us.
You know the funny Chadbird girls are going to get that sorted.
The Blue is so well known around Europe, and then also they will get votes automatically for being Blue.
Yes, and that's why it's a good move for the BBC, because if they can get a good result, I can... Assuming Blue get a good result this year, my money's on GLS for next year.
I've considered that, but that could be an interesting
option. But Blue need to prove that Eurovision is safe for a band media life.
How big a GLS your boys? Do you know GLS?
GLS? I heard a couple of tunes of them, but not much. Because I'm Eurovision specialised.
I don't think more of a high caliber act. So you know, obviously take that would be the dream gig for
us. Here in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, with the Pet Shop Boys, it'll be another dream gig.
Indeed, yeah. We'll move on from that. We've got some good scope there. We'll come back to the looking at the Big Five after their second rehearsal as well. If you want to leave comments, www.esesi.com, where you can find us on Facebook and stuff. Let's roll down again everybody else's URLs before we just do a quick wrap-up. One of the other topics we have,
it's Radio International, so that's www.radiointernational.tk.
Why TK?
Well, when we founded the website, we only got a number, and we couldn't give this number out on the air. People will not memorize it. So we just looked for a domain name host, and we found this host, .tk, which actually is an atoll in the Pacific, and they're living on making money of selling the .tk domain. .tv does not mean television either. It's the neighboring atoll.
Google. Yes.
Well, take it out, basically.
Tuvalu Tekela, there we go. Sweden, if you're listening for next year, I mean, you get all the geeks.
I think they're totally drowned.
We have ESCFlashMalta.com, and we also have Eurovision Ireland on Facebook as well.
Maybe I'm just talking about.
I mean, obviously, you don't show anything in the UK.
Magazine in all good news agents in the UK, and also do a little bit for live. Was it on Europe? Live Journal / on Europe.
Yes, there we go, Phil. If you're listening, I hope you're having fun as well. And Klaus, Sidekick wants to do something.
Yeah, Sidekick wants to do something. Yeah, we have also a good ikotimes.com or ikotimes.com.
O-I-K-O-Times.
Yes,
.com. Because he likes the Greek pronunciation.
Yeah,
his Greek pronunciation.
It's ikotimes.
Ikotimes. There we go, just like that. Right, Harry. Well, we've got you here, especially you, JP. Obviously, Eurovision is a huge amount of interest. Last week, it goes absolutely stellar for the next 7 days. Every one of us with the website just kind of like, oh, so on a watch, that's bandwidth traffic for you. Just go, ding, $10, ding, $20, ding, $50, ding, $100, ding, $200. And that's how it goes. But for the rest of the year, Eurovision still lives on, doesn't it?
Indeed, we founded this radio program about 4 years ago. And change it to Eurovision only. It was meant to be an expert radio show in the Netherlands. But we got more listeners since we're doing the Eurovision part of it. And then more and more people wanted to have more Eurovision, more requests. We threw in live interviews. We call up artists with did an interview, former artists, new artists, for national finals. People that have been on the stage for Eurovision. Organizers, the OGAE presidents, we're calling them up. What they have in the planning for the year, and we then have been approached by Eco Times to actually broadcast it through their live stream channel live on Wednesday evening. So we also have now a live audience to them, and they chat with us. They can see us do a radio show, which is fun. It's really fun. You see yourself, and Klaus is our chat man in this program. Jutta is the co-host, and it's great fun. And initially we did 2 hours, and people wanted to have another hour, a third hour. So we're now doing it 3 hours live.
Yeah. Cliff right now is miming, I think, Dolly Parton's 9 to 5.
It's just an amazing thing. I mean, when you do it, and people are requesting music all the time. They are asking, can you get Rebuck on the show? Can you get Chadwood on the show? What we actually did, we got Chadwood. And our chat just was running in front of our screens. And our eyes, we could not see the questions anymore.
They seem to have a huge social media presence. What about listenership outside of Eurovision season? There's, compared to now, so how many listeners were you saying you had last week, and how many would you have, say, in December?
I cannot tell you that. I've never researched on this.
Gut feel then. Tens, hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands.
I don't think that of thousands, because Eurovision is also a seasonal thing. So Eurovision is known in May, April, May, or so, June, a little bit. And people then tend to forget that there's the stations there who do stuff on Eurovision.
So it's left to us on the web, essentially. I mean, ESC first of all, it keeps going through the year, because the selection process will start again in September and so on. There is that rhythm, but there's also that consistent Eurovision love from a bundle of people, isn't there?
Yeah, there really is, and I know that in the ESC Flash Malta, we look at the local music scene in the industry in Malta and try to look at potential artists that might be up and coming within Malta. Because of such a small, place, they're always looking to try and find somebody who could be a credible artist in order to represent the country. And then the same way over in Ireland then as well, is that we do, on Eurovision Ireland, what we do is that we do this thing called Eurovision Glee. And we get people to make videos on their phone of their favourite Eurovision songs, and they send them in and we post them. And that keeps the momentum going for Eurovision throughout the year, and it's been working really, really well for us.
And Malta, unfortunately, has got no record company as such, so it's a big problem for the Maltese artists to get known outside Malta without our websites, your website, our show. We're being approached by Maltese artists. With interviews, they're sending us the MP3s. And Glenn Miller was actually the one that contacted us in 2007. He came to our show as well to do live interviews, live performance. And we have a lot of others, Fabrizio Fagnello, Claudia Fagnello, for instance. Because they're lacking the record company that does the promotion for them outside of Malta.
And the other interesting thing, and Roy's probably best pleased to answer this one, of course, is mainstream media. It kind of keeps an eye on Eurovision, because you do get the occasional stories bumping up throughout the years, but really, the half-life of the contest is pretty severe in print and mainstream.
It does drop off pretty quickly. So usually, if a Eurovision artist has got involved in some scandal in the format of the show, or maybe has died or something 6 months later, but generally, it's not out outside of the fan press.
And in that bit where, in the sort of 4 to 6 weeks where it's allowed on the traffic for our podcast, really starts to hockey stick up as we approach the contest. That's almost preceding the media interest, because they kind of really wait till it's closed. They don't want to tell a long story about Eurovision, do they?
No, I think it's particularly in the UK that the press is such a quick turnover of stories. It's almost gone before it's happened. If whenever we have a Song for Europe competition, then they have Eurovision, you just talk to random people, and they say, oh, wasn't Eurovision in the other week? They think the Song for Europe is the Eurovision itself, so there's a general kind of perception something's going on amongst your random man on the street, but not sure what it is or when it is, which is a bit of a shame, really.
Is there any way that I can change? I mean, you go on and you look at the sort of images portrayed by Eurovision in the UK, and it is one of the larger record markets in Germany, then the UK, and France is the way it goes. But where Eurovision will lend blue credibility, for example, across most of the Central Europe in the UK, it's just that blue man in Eurovision.
I think in the UK it's more a light entertainment program, whereas especially in Nice, it's a music program for them. They have their top music stars, where we've in the past had light entertainment shows choosing the acts. I think that's where we've gone wrong. We've got to try and get more of a music mindset, music show mindset, and then if it goes to blue, we could end up getting more credible acts. And I think then we'll look at it something to be proud of, rather than sort of something to have a laugh out of, like, say, night in May.
Very briefly, I've always
said that the best result for Blues to come second, but the worst result for Blues to come second to Jedward. What, in your instinct, what would the press do with that result?
I think Blue would be hanging from the lamppost outside of Buckingham Palace if that happened. They'd get another gig in town again, they'd be doing all the work in men's clubs for the rest of their lives.
But at the same time, Blue would probably quite happily sacrifice the UK if they got that mainstream Europe, wouldn't they?
They did. That's what I think. Blue can do it very, very good in the rest of Europe, and I'm pretty sure the fans of the UK will close an eye and still accept Blue being Blue and not having won the Eurovision being after Jedward.
I do remember when James Ewing a couple of years ago.
Revelation.
You look very similar.
No, I would say with Andrew Lloyd Webber with the fan and the mask on the person on the stage.
But a few months later, she joined Sugar Babes, and all the mainstream English press said Eurovision failure, you know, despite our best result in many years.
Eurovision fit, yeah.
So I think to a lot of the UK major press, you're a failure unless you win by the record score. But so I think they've got a battle where it happens.
So there we go. Obviously, there's a little bit of a contest to go on. After the contest played out on the world stage, the stage itself in Düsseldorf is now filling up with more rehearsals. We're getting very close to seeing the dress rehearsals, which will start on Tuesday morning, two more rounds of the second round of rehearsals to go to the Big Five, and the last half of the second semi-final.
The rehearsals starting Monday, don't they?
Yes, full rehearsals for the show. Tuesday's when the actual semi-final goes. That's what happens. You lose track. Just look at the timetable. What's next? Where do I go? What I do know is the four people decided that where to go was to sit down for the first time in a TV studio, I have to say, which is quite a switch, with no TV cameras, which is quite thankful. So thank you to your Roy Blaney.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lenny Garamalo.
Thank you.
And to JP from the International. Thank you, Psyche Clash.
Yes, all the best.
Yes. Thank you also for me. For those of you who are quite sure, she drew the long straw, not to have to pay off. Here. You can come back and catch up with myself for the podcast tomorrow, www.escinsight.com. Listen on later today. We're going to have our interview shows with a bundle of the stars who will be singing at Eurovision this year. I have myself talking to them right in the show for you. But for now, thank you very much for listening. And Roy, you play.
I'm sorry, I've got my class there. What was I saying?
This is the point where generally people go get really excited because they get to say the guitars.
Do they?
Yes.
The guitars!